Wir gehen gleich weiter zu Kayvan Kabuli, der beneidenswerterweise eigentlich seit mehreren Jahren unter der Sonne Kaliforniens lebt. Natürlich nicht ganz freiwillig, er ist Exilant und in Los Angeles Sprecher der Green Party of Iran. Herr Kabuli, bitteschön.
Thank you very much. First, I want to thank the Mideast Freedom Forum to invite me here tonight, and also thank Doris for bringing up the issue of the Jomhuri Islami newspaper publication. The story was that our European spokesperson Kazem Mousavizadeh was introducing the book about Iran in Leipzig last week, and somehow Islamic Republic of Iran didn't like it, and they published an article in the newspaper, and they threatened us to you shouldn't be along with anti-Semitic activists. So anyway, let me start my discussion tonight. First of all, the topic of my discussion tonight is going to be the necessity for the formation of anti-fascist coalition. To begin with, let's examine the reality or myth about the resurrection of fascism once again in 21st century. Would it be mere exaggerations to recognize the Tehran regime of fascist essence? The ferocity of Islamic fundamentalism in general and the Iranian regime in particular as a threatening phenomenon is not bound exclusively to the Iranian people or Middle East alone. The mullah's reactionary regime has evolved into an aggressive fascist, clero-fascist establishment, and is on the verge of stepping out of its own national territory. They have already become an international threat. This regime has already started its covert operation by organizing its allies and terrorist group around the world. In the Middle East, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Mahdi of Army are few to mention. To put this into context, the Iranian state-run Mehr News Agency reported an event in January 2006, which is clearly proved this allegation. Quote, Ahmadinejad told a crowd of theological students in the holy city of Homs that we must believe in the fact that Islam is not confined to geographical borders, ethnic groups, and nations. It's a universal ideology that leads the world to justice. We don't shy away from declaring that Islam is ready to rule the world, unquote. The brutality of this regime against its own people, such as mass execution, and the torture of the dissidents and the infidels by thousands in prisons, which are repeatedly reported by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch organizations, are not my proving points of fascist essence of this regime. The key issue here is the program of territory expansion. The clero-fascist initial target is Iraq. After achieving this, Iraq will be considered as a stepping stone in order to vanquish Israel. And as I'm sure you are fully aware, Ahmadinejad has not hesitated to declare this more than one occasion. We must therefore ask the question whether Ahmadinejad is exaggerating here, or he's just deluding his listeners. Unfortunately, sufficing to holding mere discussions or debate about the resurrection of fascism as a fact or myth in this era would not prevent the next human catastrophe on Earth. It would be good if the discussion were going on, fundamentalists held back and wait for the result of our discussions. To make my point clearer, let me make use of an environmental analogy. The threat of global warming is a well-known issue which are all well aware of. Similar to the concept of resurrection of fascism, there is a debate going on about the factual or mythical notion of global warming amongst different points of view. Here I don't want to refer to the righteous of humans' role in causing or contributing to the creation of global warming. Instead, I would like to argue that our approach and options we choose to face the problem could have different impact on human life throughout the world. Regarding the global warming, we are faced with two options. We either do nothing in the hope that global warming is just a myth or fiction, and the whole discussion is just a mere exaggeration. Or otherwise, we take it seriously and act accordingly to combat the problem. Like everything else, most people, especially politicians, always consider the economic impact of their options when it comes to taking action. Taking action means, in global warming situation, means producing lower harmful emissions and regulating companies' waste and designating the cost to the production process. This would obviously affect the gross domestic product or GDP in each country. Of course, the skeptical view about the concept of global warming would try to save this extra cost in the hope of that whole thing is a myth. Such a skeptical approach would not want to jeopardize the level of their profit. However, if global warming is taken as factual as many evidences prove it to be, ignoring it would almost certainly cause a major catastrophe that will pose a serious threat to the humans' life and as well as other forms of life on Earth. Let us now consider our options with the threat of the clero-fascist regime of Iran. Mullahs are pursuing with the nuclear technology and at the same time striving to Islamize the world, which incidentally would begin with wiping Israel off the world's map. This should not be considered as just a tall orders as they have already organized their terrorist group in the Middle East. Now, the world in general and the European Union in particular have two options. Either to continue with their normal economic ties and relation with the Iranian regime and sign a profitable contract in the hope of that the whole notion of clero-fascist regime is a fiction or a myth, or take preventive measure in order to halt the ambition holders of the fascist state power in Iran. In the first option, Europe would be hopeful that the nuclear energy attained will only be used for peaceful projects. The worst case scenario begins that even if they do lay their hands on an atomic bomb, they would not intend to use it. Or, in the very worst case, the Qassam rockets or the other short-range rockets would be limited to only reach the northern Israeli territories. This, of course, goes hand in hand as well as other issues, such as the violation of human rights, which has been particularly ignored by the Western states. But what if the nuclear threat is a fact? It would be naive to think that it wouldn't affect you. Don't think that you're immune. Look at most major cities in Europe now. They already have enough fundamentalism in place for the time of action. Don't make a mistake. They don't need to deploy soldiers. They're already here. You might say, okay, these Muslims in Europe are not Shiite. But let me reiterate that when it comes to terrorism, the Iranian regime makes use of every possibility. The Iranian regime is backing the Sunnis as well as Shiites in Iraq in order to achieve their goals. Having once experienced the 20th century fascism, it would be naive of the 21st century human to overlook such a threat once again. For those of you who are too skeptical, I'd say man hasn't experienced global warming in his living memory. But fascism and Nazism are not even a century away. I'm not sure about you ladies and gentlemen sitting in European Parliament, but the Iranians have experienced Islamic fundamentalists with their flesh and bones, and we are forewarning you about the consequence of remaining passive on this global issue. The adopted appeasement policy by Europeans shows that they are overlooking the reality of clero-fascism. to assume that Ahmadinejad doesn't mean it, or he couldn't mean it, or presuming that he just wants to spread his Islamic propaganda to attract the people of Middle East to become a populist leader in the region would be a grave mistake. Wasn't Hitler a populist himself? What would your guarantee that Ahmadinejad won't follow the same trend? How would the appeasement policy be justified? The appeasement policy with the mullahs by the EU for the sake of juicy contracts like the OMFA and Siemens deal can only hinder the efforts of oppressed people of Iran as well as the opposition groups to the regime to rid itself from the evil of the ruling clero-fascism in Tehran. This is shameful. How about looking at the situation from Iranian people's point of view? Yesterday, Mr. Paolo Casaca brought a very good subject about that. European appeasement policy, for the sake of appeasing mullahs, put pressure on Iranian opposition groups and put the largest opposition group in the terrorist list. And this is shameful. If you restrain opposition group, how could you expect you defeat mullahs? On the other hand, we ask Europeans to see from our point of view. I know the world, Israelis, other people want to see the Iranian groups, Iranian opposition groups, to declare their clear positions. How about condemning Iranian people and right of Israeli existing? That's what we are here for. I know most of opposition groups are recognize Israeli state's rights to exist. I know most of them, they do, if they're real. But they never said that, and that was a mistake. And we, Green Party of Iran, declare that we have to get along. Let me tell you a sad story, but a true story. In 1987, Iranian regime started execution of people by tens of thousands of in prison, especially in Evin prison. And one thing they did, beside the execution of opponent and dissident, when they execute the person, they wrap the body in Israeli flag and put in the grave. And by this, they want to tell the opposition group that we are insulting you. You're one of them. And that taboo became one of the obstacles that opposition group never could come along and just take positions with other countries against mullahs. So this story is real, and we Green Party of Iran declare that we recognize Israeli state's right to exist. And we keep asking other opposition groups to do so. Let me add this too. One must not think that should Ahmadinejad's presidential term be over, the situation will be resolved. We are dealing with a system and not an individual. Remember that under Khatami, the so-called former moderate presidents pursuing the attainment of atomic bomb didn't stop, not even for a day. Religious fascism is by far more threatening than of those previous models, which based its ideology upon superior human race, using the mentality of suicide bombing and culture of martyrdom based on supernatural ideas and superior religion makes clero-fascism more dangerous than of those earthly classical type of fascism. Let me clear here something. I spoke with a good friend of mine here. By saying this, I don't mean to degrade the classical type of fascism which already experienced. I don't want to compare something that is not happened yet to something it's already happened, and we saw, and you guys are expert. By saying this, I don't want to compare this, and I don't want to degrade the other one. I don't want to insult the feeling. But what I'm talking about, the essence, the potential of these people, the mullahs or fundamentalists, if no obstacle in front of them. They go all the way, and they are more capable of creating catastrophe even more than the previous one. Both variants of fascism, however, they have common objectives: to eradicate Jews, progressive ideas, homosexuality, and in general, freedom as a whole. Clerofascism is preparing to launch its attacks in a systematic manner. Therefore, opposing such threat requires a systematic approach. The Iranian regime knows how to manipulate the EU appeasement policy. They have their well-organized lobby groups around the Western countries to push their agendas in order to achieve their goals. Another aspect of the clerofascist regime is the contradictory facade that could lead to the Westerners to think that the mullahs are so vulnerable that they can be restrained as and when necessary. This is not simply true. One must be aware of the structural differences in organizational method by which two sides function. The fundamentalist may seem to be disorganized. It may appear as though it would be easy to bring them down by simply working on their inherent contradictions. In the last two decades, the West has been trying to manipulate certain factions within the regime in the hope of achieving a certain degree of reform with Iran's political theocracy. As we all know, this policy simply hasn't worked. Instead, Ahmadinejad emerged out of this very system and clearly questioned the Holocaust. Ladies and gentlemen, this has to be taken extremely seriously and not simply taken as Ahmadinejad insanity. That's not a joke. Neither the Iranian opposition struggle nor the international effort in isolation would be able to confront clerical fascism. The course of action is the formation of an international anti-fascist front. This is the solution, according to us. This is the only effective means of confronting and exerting pressure on both fascism and appeasement policy. Let me say my last words. My final word is, ladies and gentlemen, we have to halt the Islamic fundamentalism before it's too late. The Iranian regime as a state power behind the aggressive version of Islamic fundamentalists has to be stopped and has to be defeated. In order to psychologically tame the Islamic extremists and put an end to worldwide terrorism, otherwise the worst of what has been seen so far is yet to be anticipated. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank, Herr Kabuli.